Hello and welcome back to the quarterly Kier Marbach podcast. Before we dive in, I want to be sure to wish everyone a happy and prosperous new year. I'm your host, Zach Greiner, and joining me today is Kier Marbach's senior analyst, Roger Lee. Roger, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
For today's agenda, we will kick off with Roger's update on the markets, where he will focus on market happenings late in 2021 and an outlook into 2022. However, we will not call this a forecast. Next, we will change gears and discuss some tax planning techniques, keeping in mind that even though the calendar year has flipped to 2022, there are still things you can do to lower your 2021 tax bill. And finally, we will wrap things up with an interesting, dependable forecast from Jay Moreland of the Behavioral Finance Network, something I think our listeners will really enjoy. Without further ado, here is Roger on the markets. Roger, take it away.
The stock market, as measured by the S&P 500, finished the year in strong fashion with an 11% return for the fourth quarter and an outstanding return of 28% for the year. Gains were everywhere as the Dow rose 21% and the Nasdaq rose 22%. Kier Marbach returns were in line with the S&P, so a great year for KM investors.
That's good to hear. As we look back, most investors thought 2021 would be a good recovery year after the COVID year of 2020. But the returns you just mentioned were much better than what most analysts predicted. Why do you think that was the case?
I think there are two main factors that drove returns. First was earnings growth. Companies consistently beat earnings expectations throughout the year and reported strong year-over-year growth. This wasn't all that difficult given the negative impact lockdowns had in 2020. But earnings in 2021 will exceed the prior peak in 2019 by almost 30%. As we have discussed before, stock prices follow earnings growth with a 94% correlation, so rising stock prices certainly made sense. The other significant factor that drove stock prices was the Federal Reserve. Beginning with the pandemic in 2020, the Fed began growing money supply at unprecedented levels, much higher than during any of the previous quantitative easing periods. This, combined with fiscal policy that handed out money via PPP and stimulus checks, created a huge expansion of money supply growth. When people are fearful, they want to hold on to this money. When not, they want to spend it. Stock prices are a prime beneficiary. So are real estate prices, commodity prices, used car prices, and so on. Strong growth of money supply has always been associated with strong stock markets.
You know, to piggyback on that last point, another big story in the quarter was inflation. We talked last quarter that we thought it would last longer and go higher than consensus. Clearly, the Fed has changed its view as they talked about retiring the word transitory to describe inflation. What are your thoughts today on inflation?
Earlier, we talked about how the stock market benefits from this expansive monetary and fiscal policy. There's also a negative side, and that's inflation. People have more money directly from the government, but also the wealth effect. Home prices are up, and investment portfolios are up, so people feel wealthier and are more willing to spend. Add in some supply chain issues, and you have the classic definition of inflation. Too much money chasing too few goods. I think there are puts and takes going forward. Production bottlenecks should ease over the next quarter or two. That should help. But wage pressures and housing will continue to push higher. If you look at just service inflation, it's running hot as well. And this involves no container ship delays or logistical bottlenecks. My guess is we are close to the peak, but inflation will stay well above the Fed's desired 2-3% level for an extended period of time.
So what are the implications of this higher inflation for investors? And what should we expect for the market in 2022? Again, knowing we are not in the business of making annual predictions.
Well, as you suggested, we are always reluctant to give predictions because it's impossible to know. History does give us some clues. Since 1945, whenever we've had a year with 20% or greater gains, the following year has seen an average return of 10% and has been positive 80% of the time. We like those odds. I think we will still see strong earnings growth in 2022. Perhaps not as strong as 2021, but 8 to 10% still seems possible. But we will have a less accommodative Federal Reserve as inflation has already caused them to change. That's totally appropriate. In fact, they should have started backing off asset purchases already. The economy is no longer in panic mode, but their approach hasn't adjusted. It will in 2022. But they are a long way off from being restrictive. This change, though, adds an element of risk and volatility. Rather than try to predict the market, we prefer to focus on the individual companies in our portfolios. We continue to want to own good companies with strong management teams, profitable businesses, and a key element, pricing power. That is, companies that have the ability to raise prices or at a minimum, pass on the price increases they are incurring. Here are some examples. Look at a basic business like garbage collection. It's an essential service you can't do without. If the cost goes up 3% every year, you are still going to pay it. But that 3% compounded over years starts to add up over time. Or look at the digital transformation taking place in our economy. Things like medical records online, online shopping, even Kiermaierbach statements online. All these businesses have to adjust. Retailers can't just rely on shoppers coming into their store. They have to be able to handle shopping on your phone, computer, or iPad, and all the logistical issues that come with that. Companies that provide this digital conversion are essential. Conversely, something like airlines have a tougher business model. While you can argue they are essential, they have large capital expenses to buy planes, their fuel costs fluctuate wildly, yet they have no pricing power. The average airline ticket today is 8% cheaper than it was 20 years ago. So which is a better business over time? That's where we want to focus our portfolio holdings.
That sounds very similar to Warren Buffett's moat principle.
Yes, it does. And one final point I wanted to make. We have talked in prior podcasts about all these unprofitable companies with huge valuations and how that is unsustainable over longer periods of time. You've had all the companies referred to as innovators and disruptors and how they're going to transform various industries. Or new growth industries such as cannabis, online gaming, biotech, and others. Many of those got hammered in the fourth quarter as investors began to focus on things that have historically made great companies: profitability, free cash flow, self-funding, etc. This normalcy in investors' view is good and healthy, and it will ultimately benefit Kiermaierbach companies as these are things we have always focused on.
Great update, Roger. I always enjoy hearing the market updates come from you. It can be easy to get lost in daily market headlines, so to have a high-level summary really helps our listeners understand what is happening in the markets without any news bias. Roger, thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Zach.
One thing I always like to add, that even though we can get caught up in market movements and returns, the real focus for investors needs to be their own personal investment plan and how that plan fits into accomplishing their financial goals. If any of our listeners do not feel that they have a grasp on their own personal investment plan, don't hesitate to reach out to Maggie or myself, and we will be more than capable of developing a plan that fits our clients' needs. Another key to a successful investment plan is tax planning. Where we are not a tax planning outfit, we do like to highlight some simple tax planning strategies to try and reduce any tax liability while also setting up clients for long-term investment success. Today, we will focus on a couple ideas geared specifically for families when filing their 2021 federal tax returns. Do keep in mind that even though the calendar year has flipped to 2022, there are still things you can do to lower your 2021 tax bill. For me, there are two numbers I think families should keep in mind for their adjusted gross income, also known as their AGI, as they look to file their 2021 federal taxes. $150,000 in AGI and $160,000 in AGI. Why? Those are roughly the two magical breakpoints for joint filers when filing their federal tax returns to qualify for last year's government stimulus. If you're filing single, cut those numbers in half, $75,000 and $80,000. So why $150,000? That is the rough breakpoint to qualify for the full monthly child tax credit sent out starting last year. And $160,000 is the breakpoint to qualify for the full stimulus sent out last April. We highlight those two breakpoints because that can add up to be quite a bit of stimulus money from the federal government if you qualify. A quick refresher on last year's stimulus. The child tax credit is up to $3,000 for kids over six and $3,600 for each child under six. Add that to the April stimulus, which was for $2,800 per couple plus $1,400 per child, and that can add up to real money. For example, a family of four with a 7 and 5 year old making less than $150,000 in AGI would have qualified for over $12,000 in stimulus funds last year. If you're asking yourself, boy, I'm close to those breakpoints, what can I do to lower my AGI to drop below those breakpoints to be sure to qualify for the full stimulus amount? Here are two main ways to reduce your AGI in this calendar year for your 2021 tax returns. First, maximize your IRA contributions. If you or your spouse are not covered by a company plan, you have the option to contribute to a personal IRA to reduce your AGI. Individuals less than 50 can contribute up to $6,000, and those over 50 can contribute up to $7,000. There are potential income breaks to qualify, so you will want to check with your tax planner or the Keir Marbach client service team to ensure you qualify, but this is a very effective way to reduce your AGI. The second thing you can do is maximize your health savings account or HSA contributions. Most of us by now are covered under high deductible health plans via our employer. Having a high deductible health plan allows you to participate in an HSA account. You are able to contribute up to $7,200 for a family, which would reduce your AGI by that same amount. Do keep in mind, HSAs are not to be confused with FSAs in that their balance can be carried year to year and even used for healthcare premiums into retirement. So if you don't use it all this year, you have next year. So if you're keeping score at home, for a married couple under 50, there's a potential for up to $6,000 in IRA adjustments and $7,200 in HSA adjustments, the ability to reduce your AGI by roughly $13,000. Do keep in mind, both items you can still do in 2022 for your 2021 taxes. I would encourage you to reach out to myself or Maggie at Keir Marbach if you want any more clarity or help on reducing your AGI via IRA or HSA contributions, or any other ideas on how to take advantage of the changing tax policy. All right, last item I wanted to leave you with is Jay Moreland's dependable forecast for 2022. Jay specializes in behavioral finance and is a strong resource for the Keir Marbach team. Jay's focus is on how emotions and human nature play into investment decision-making, a new focus topic in our industry. You will also see his forecast in our upcoming quarterly newsletter. Most investors love economic and market forecasts. With the market so uncertain and volatile, our brains crave some sort of idea of what the future holds. But the markets are unpredictable, evidenced by the fact that no one can consistently predict them with any accuracy. Of course, a certain forecast will be right from time to time, just like a broken clock. But market forecasts are not dependable, no matter what your brain tells you. Unlike market and economic forecasts, Jay's forecast is reliable and robust because it's based on enduring investment truths and investment behavior. These factors are more dependable than our market outcomes and are more important to an investor's well-being. So here's Jay's 2022 forecast. In full disclosure, the following forecast is nearly identical to his forecast for 2021 and years prior to that. Number one, the economy and market will do something that surprises us, but will be obvious in hindsight. Number two, investors who watch the market often will experience more stress than those that don't. Number three, you will be tempted to change your investment strategy based on market performance, expert forecasts, and/or your own personal beliefs about the future. Number four, your investment decisions and reactions to market events will have a significant influence on your personal investment return. And last, investors that focus their time and attention on those things they can control will have a better investment experience than those that focus on what they wish they could control. Conviction, patience, and discipline are all virtues every investor should develop. They aren't easy, yet they're essential for your success. As your advisor, one of our most important roles is helping you ignore the noise and focus on what really matters to your financial success. And with that, I wish you a prosperous, fulfilling, and happy 2022. Thank you for allowing Kier Marbach to be your trusted partner along the journey. See you guys next time.